Podcast. This is episode 20 of our coverage of the 2021-22 season. I'm your host, Gage, as usual. This episode is not taking place as usually scheduled. You may have noticed or heard us talk about last week that we were going to do a match reaction pod to the North London Derby as soon as it was over. It has just ended. The final whistle has just blown, and I'm joined here by two of my fellow men. I'm joined by Reese, the other half of North London. Hello, Reese.
Hello.
And I'm joined by Ethan, the neutral arbiter. Hello, Ethan.
Hello. Yeah, I'll have to stand between these two, and I'll be the moderator, I guess.
Yeah, so, well, first of all, I'll extend my sincerest thanks and heartfelt admiration to Reese for being willing to come on after a game like that, because I know it's not easy. So this is my olive branch to you.
I will say this would be significantly worse if we had like dropped below y'all after this game.
Yeah, that's why
I may have killed myself on the spot.
That's why I'm not quite as jubilant as you might expect, because as great of a result as it is and as good as it feels, it's like it's still in Arsenal's hands. So, you know, it's not the end all be all quite yet, as much as I would like it to be. Tell you what, gentlemen, let's go through the events chronologically as they happened and just kind of talk through, you know, what occurred. We'll start with the team news. Christian Romero was an unexpected absence. Picked up a hip injury in the Liverpool game, apparently, that we hadn't heard reports of and, you know, didn't really hear any tell of at all. It just came out on the team sheet that he wasn't in the squad, which kind of made my heart drop a little bit because he's our best defender and also our best deep lying playmaker. So, you know, I was a little bit worried about that, but Reese, you were pretty much dead on with how Arsenal set up in the game.
Pretty much the same lineup as the game prior. With, you know, Tomiyasu playing left back, Cedric at right back. So I wasn't surprised with anything. The reports about Saka maybe missing, everybody knew those are fake, but they always still make me nervous personally, because I'm like, well, what if it's not fake and he really is missing? But it was what I expected.
Yeah, so then the game starts. Davinson Sanchez was the man called in to replace Christian Romero, and he had a few nervy touches in the first 10 minutes that made me kind of start to freak out a little bit, because he did not look good in possession. He gave the ball away a couple times. I was starting to get worried about it, but as the game grew on, he did grow into the game and he performed pretty well, all things considered. Then we get to the controversy. So in case you somehow haven't seen it, I think the TV direction did not help with this as well, because there was
were trying to say it was Rob Holding, which it wasn't.
Yeah. Well, and at first they were saying handball on Rob Holding, which is what the referee apparently gestured to. But Reese, what did you see in this, and what was your takeaway of the events?
I mean, basically, so what happened was the coming together in the air. I thought it could have been kind of soft, but at the same time, you know, like I also would have been upset if that happened to us and it wasn't given, because Cedric did kind of, I mean, his hands were to the back, right? And who knows if he actually shoved him or not, but as soon as a player feels that, they're gonna go down, right? And you know, it got called, but I just think it's weird that he called the penalty for something else, right?
It's hard to tell if that's actually what, when it was such a difficult thing to interpret from the TV screens, because the replay cuts didn't really show anything definitive. There was no VAR check. Like the referee, like we didn't see much of him at all. It was just a very honestly, when I was sitting here, I said to Daniel, my roommate who was in the vicinity, I was like, I don't really know what that was for at first.
I didn't either.
As I saw it again, I thought, okay, you know, maybe I see it, but I actually texted Ethan this too during the game. Like I would have been mad if that had been given against Spurs.
I think my exact words were, I hope the referee chokes on his breakfast tomorrow and dies.
let's go to Ethan, the neutral arbiter here, because of course, Reese and I have unsurprising positions on this, but let's see what Ethan has to say.
Well, I mean, I'm with y'all kind of like, if it happened to, let's say, I'll put Crystal Palace in my position here. If that had happened, Palace, I'd probably been like, yeah, I can see it. But then if it was given against Palace, I probably would have been like, oh, that's harsh. So I think it definitely was harsh, but at the end of the day, there was something that went down in the box. So that's just how it works. And sometimes they're really soft and sometimes they're stonewall. So
I think it's tough because like by the letter of the law, it's a foul and it's a penalty, but you don't see referees give those. Like,
they
don't get given consistently in the league. And I think that's where the frustration lies. And which I totally understand, to be honest. Kane converts the penalty. No doubt. When he stepped up, I knew it was going to be a goal, to be honest. Then, kind of throughout this period, as we're talking, Rob Holding and Son had been getting into it a little bit. There had been a few incidents, a couple off the ball, where Rob Holding RKO'd Son over top the back. From my perspective, I think no complaints about the red card. I don't know where you're sitting on that, Reese, but.
No, yeah, I definitely think it's a red. What I do think is interesting, that was all basically coming at Rob Holding and saying like, oh, it's an unprofessional foul acting like he meant to do this. But like, when you look at it, right, he doesn't actually hit Son with his elbow. He still hits him. Son gets hit in the face, right?
Yeah.
With Rob Holding's shoulder. And so what I imagine, because you have to take a tent into account, right? There's no universe where Rob Holding thinks to himself, I'm on a yellow, I'm going to hit Son in the face and get sent off. Like, he doesn't want to get sent off. So what I imagine happened is he's trying to go in for a shoulder challenge and he just missed. The issue there is, you know, I didn't have a huge issue with what he was doing with Son, right? You know, they're trying to rile each other up.
Yeah, yeah.
But when you take an early yellow, that doesn't give you any wiggle room for a scenario where you miss your shoulder charge, right? Which is exactly what happened.
And it wasn't necessarily a challenge he needed to make either. Like,
no.
You know, so
yeah, so it's like it's a red, but I don't I understand what he was trying to do, but because he had put himself in that position where he's already on a yellow, he has no wiggle room to make a mistake, and that's what happens. I don't know if it's as, you know, as unprofessional as what the pundits are claiming it to be, but
no, I think I see their angle in terms of, to me, it looks a little bit less innocuous than I think you painted it, to be honest. I'm not saying he did it completely intentionally, but to me it reads like someone who's frustrated with the game, frustrated with the call, the penalty call, and frustrated with Son already because of these interactions that they've had up to this point. And then it's just an overzealous challenge. Like, I'm in total agreement with you. I don't think, there's, like you said, there's no universe where Rob Holding thinks to do that intentionally.
Yeah.
I just think it was an overzealous challenge in the heat of the moment. And yeah, he's off, which I celebrated like a goal.
From that point on, I mean, when he got sent off, the game was done.
The game was over, yeah.
It's almost, we're going to go into it still, but from an Arsenal standpoint, there's nothing to analyze from that point on because it's just done, right? We can't commit bodies forward because we're down a man, and we can't not commit bodies forward because we're down by two goals. So like,
yeah,
we're down by one goal at that point, but
it was two almost immediately. Kane takes the free kick, blah, blah, blah. Things happen, ensuing corner. And then Bentancur with the flick on. Kane's at the back post to head it in. Pretty straightforward, really. I mean, I don't necessarily know that it was bad defending by Arsenal, although Lee Dixon in commentary did pick up on one thing. Why isn't Kessié being asked to mark Kane in that situation?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because there's only ever going to be one winner in that battle.
If he holds his line though, Kane's offside, which is worth noting.
True. Yeah. I actually, initially I celebrated the goal, but I was kind of like, you know, was he offside? Cause I, you know, it would have been close.
Yeah.
I did want to, there is one thing I wanted to ask you to analyze from an Arsenal perspective. And that is the setup after the red card, because the commentators seem to be convinced that Arsenal would make a substitution at that time.
Yeah.
Of course, there were some question marks around Ben White's fitness, which I think have been answered in terms of the fact that he didn't come on. Yeah. So, you know, what would you have done differently, if anything?
Well, so basically what we ended up doing was Tomiyasu play right center back, and Xhaka was at left back, and Martinelli also dropped back to help out. And then eventually Nuno Tavares came on. But I don't know if there's anything else you can do really because of Ben White's injury. The only thing I thought maybe was bring Ben White on and go to a back five. That way, you know, we can commit some bodies forward in the wing backs while still maintaining three center backs in defense. But because Ben White wasn't fit enough to play, there's not really another option.
Yeah, maybe I was play actually
Xhaka at center back.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I thought that they were going to drop either Xhaka or Elneny in at center back and still be able to commit bodies forward. But one of the strangest things in this was how close Elneny stayed to the center backs throughout. Because, you know, I get it. Like game state, the game is over by the end of the first half. However, Arsenal never really looked like scoring. I know there were a few chances, like Nketiah had one that was saved by Lloris. Odegaard had that pretty cut much back, but
two chances. But the only times we looked good and looked like we could score were prior to the red card.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's tough because like Spurs were in a position where we could just completely go into lockdown mode defensively, which we did at Anfield as well. So we had plenty of practice doing that. And, you know, I think it's just a matter of game state and the fact that like we don't really even need to talk about the second half because
I will bring up the second half. Super game could not have been worse because not only do we lose this game and Rob Holding gets sent off, which basically means whether or not Ben White needs to be fit. Like he needs to be fit for the next game, which he probably will be. But Gabriel went off with a slight knock, which didn't look too serious, but you never really know.
Yeah, they were saying if it's a hamstring, like
it couldn't have been worse, really. I think, yeah, it's tough.
So Ben White is now the only available center back going into the Newcastle game, right?
If Gabriel is okay to play, then it'll probably be fine. But it's just a little nervous the way he came off.
Definitely. So I think as far as the actual match, that's pretty much all we need to say. I don't really know that there's a whole lot more to talk about. Really, you know, the game was over by halftime. As far as going forward, look, Spurs are still not in the driver's seat, although momentum is with them. And you have to say, I said before the game, and by the way, 3-0 Spurs, I got the prediction spot on.
I know, I told Ethan, I was like, I need us to get one so that Gage's prediction is at least wrong.
And my prediction about the you know, question marks about Arsenal under pressure came true as well. You know, I wish so badly that we'd hung on to the draw at Brighton because then it would be in our hands. And, you know, but it's still Arsenal, you know, Newcastle and Everton. Arsenal has the harder run in. Like, let's not make a mistake about that. But still, those are games that you should be winning.
Yeah. And our next game is at home. They both might be actually, though. I think Everton's away.
No. Newcastle's at St. James's.
Oh, you're right. You're right. And Everton's at home.
Yeah. Because I just remember seeing that some Spurs account was tweeting, oh, it's Newcastle's last game at St. James's. They're going to be fired up. They're going to win and all this. And I was like, okay, let's chill out. Like, but, Spurs have got Burnley early on Sunday morning, which is a tight turnaround.
Is it away?
I actually don't know. I'm pretty sure it's at home.
It's at home.
Yeah. So it's a tight turnaround. It's a noon kickoff. Which Spurs are infamously bad at. But I think Spurs were properly up for this game. So I think Spurs will win their last two games. I think knock on wood. But
it would be insane if y'all were to lose, like if somehow y'all lost to Burnley and we won against Newcastle, because then this game literally wouldn't have mattered.
Come the end of the season, if we win all of our remaining games, both of us, it still won't have mattered.
That's true, like, but yeah, we need to respond because we, you know, we've shown that we're able to respond after a loss. But last time it happened, it took us three games, right?
I was gonna say it's like Arsenal have been so streaky this season because you had those three losses on the spin. Now you've got four wins on the spin, and now you've got this loss, and you have to respond Monday night. So we'll see how it happens. And then Everton, of course, you mentioned before, it's not a scenario you want to be in going into that game, having to fight for everything.
Yeah, especially after their last run of form, you know.
The good thing about that game is that it is home. So if we are able to secure a win at St. James's, then, you know, the stadium will be absolutely buzzing because, you know, the scenario at that point is win our last game at home and you're in the Champions League, right?
Yeah.
So the fans will be absolutely up to the task. And that does play a huge part, especially with the young squad that we have, right? They feed so much off of the fans' energy.
Probably for the final time this season, because I feel like we will have a better idea. I think after this next round of fixtures, we will have a better idea of who's going to get top four, I think. Because to be honest, if Arsenal win the Newcastle game, this Newcastle game is the sticking point for me, really.
I agree.
Because like you said, if Arsenal win at St. James's, crowd's going to be rocking. I think you'll get the job done. But you know, if you draw at St. James's, it's going to be, you know, a tough situation. So I'll ask the question probably for the last time this season. And this is mostly directed at Ethan because he's unbiased and I know I'm putting you on the spot here, but who's going to finish fourth?
I honestly, you know, we've talked about it so much, and in those days we had more time to think about all the other options and whatnot. I do think this result is great for Tottenham because now this actually gives you all a chance. You know, I honestly don't know. I don't think I have an answer for you, honestly.
There was a gun to your head. What would you say?
Yeah, what would you have to
say? I'd rather you shoot me if there's a gun to my head.
Man, not getting an answer out of him. You know, the cynic in me says that Arsenal will still finish fourth because it just feels like the way things will happen, that Spurs get this huge result and everyone's buzzing off the back of it. And then the end of the season's going to be anticlimactic.
No, I changed my mind. I'll probably pick Arsenal.
Great. I swayed you.
What did Gage say?
No, I was just thinking about it because it's just like, I, as much as Newcastle have been good this last, you know, few months of the season, and then Everton, I feel like they're going to eventually hit like a wall, and then playing at Arsenal is going to be tough. So I don't know.
The irony is that if Spurs beat Burnley this weekend, they basically seal Everton's fate as safe. So Everton won't have as much to play for.
That's true.
In the long run, you know, and then, let's not forget Leeds also were battered off Chelsea. So, you know, Everton are going to be
maybe wrapped up by then.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll have to see. The cynic in me says Arsenal still gets it, but
I'm going to say Arsenal mainly just because I feel like I have to, right?
Yeah. I mean,
like, you know, some people would say, you know, set yourself up to like be prepared to lose it, but I think I'm already content if we fall out of top four. And so I'm going to just hope we can hold it together.
Yeah.
And get the job done.
Don't get me wrong. I'm fully coys. And I think, you know, the passion part of me wants to say Spurs are going to romp through this. Arsenal are going to lose both of their remaining games because they're a bunch of butlers who can't handle the pressure and all this, but I don't think that's true. I just, my brain tells me that Arsenal will probably end up getting the job done. Which will be hugely disappointing, but, you know, what a result for Spurs, and at least we have that to go off, you know? So,
what was the, score of the first game?
The first North London Derby?
Yeah.
3-1 Arsenal. Cause it was, y'all were up 3-0 at halftime.
If we had been doing our bet, I would have to wear Tottenham gear.
Yeah, but that's so lame. it's always aggregate. Lame. Yeah, on aggregate. Well, for those of you who don't know, which is probably almost everyone who's not related to us or has been friends with us for a long time, we used to have a running thing where the aggregate score of the North London derbies, the loser would have to wear the opposite team's gear.
Yeah.
Which occasionally led to some stupid things happening. Like, I remember, I think one season, like Spurs won the first game 2-0, and then Arsenal won the second game 1-0. So but immediately I had to take a after you right winning, after. Yeah. You had to wear the Spurs. Yeah.
The picture with Gage in the Arsenal gear is that he's holding the flag like right in front of the jersey. So you can't see him wearing it, but he's still got the hat on.
I didn't even realize that.
Yeah.
I don't think I've seen that picture in a long time. It doesn't need to come out.
I don't
out.
Know if I posted it because
actually it does. That need to, one let's was. Get, let's get them let's out and it. Tweet yeah. them.
We tweet them together.
Yeah.
I think at the time it was the same scenario where Arsenal had won the first leg and then y'all won the second game, but
yeah,
you had to take a picture wearing like, the Arsenal gear right away.
Yeah. We never really got to like put someone down it. In the absolute dumps. Like,
yeah,
you know, but yeah. Well, gentlemen, I think unless we have any other final thoughts, I think that'll conclude proceedings.
Oh. Speaking of final, I will say this. I got a good little boost in the middle of the game. You know, I'm being all sad. And then I got a grade back for a final exam I had this morning where I thought I might get a C in the class. I ended up getting a B in the class. So
nice.
I saw that and I got to celebrate something in the middle of it.
But. Yeah. You know, normally we would be together for this game, but it just so happens that we both had finals this morning and there was no way with the turnaround and with the schedule that we both have, we couldn't make it happen. So, yeah, it's weird. Like, on a more personal note, this is my last like full day in this apartment, which I've lived in for 2 years now. And it's like, we're capping it off with a North London Derby win. Going tonight with the boys to get some wings and, you know, we'll wrap up an era of my life, which feels a little bit weird, but enough of the personal sappy talk. We'll move on to the outro and all the other business. Go ahead and follow us on Twitter and Instagram. We've got all kinds of exciting stuff going on. You may have noticed our absolute barrage of highlights coming out over the last few days, some of which have been met with a great response. So thank you guys for being involved in that. At Slapcast PL on both platforms. The YouTube channel is alive and well. Go ahead and check that out. This will be there, obviously. And gentlemen, thanks for joining me for this short abridged edition. Ethan, thank you for coming on.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
And Reese as well, after such a, you know, disappointing result, thank you for still coming on and saying your piece.
Of course. Congrats on the win. Celebrate hard at B-dubs.
I will, yeah. I'll go insane. But yeah, thank you, gentlemen, for watching. Thank you for joining. Thank you, listeners, for watching. We hope you stay safe and stay healthy. It's a goodbye from us.